Hi, this is Dr. Beth, a self-care MD, and today I have on the line Jackie Prete of JackiePrete.com. Jackie is a yoga instructor in New York City. She teaches at World Yoga Center, Yoga Works, and Equinox Fitness Club. These locations are across New York City. And I recently met Jackie in Mexico at a meeting, and she's been a yoga instructor for a long time. And I think that she actually came in at the beginning of the yoga movement. Is that right, Jackie?
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thank you for asking me on this this interview. 1990 was when I first started yoga, and I naively started teaching a year later. Like I didn't know what I was doing, but I was a aerobics instructor at the time doing that, you know, in the 80s. And the person I was working for was like, you know what, yoga's going to be the next thing in fitness. Were they prescient or what? So she said, I'm dragging you to here. You're going to come with me to this yoga class. And I was like rolling my eyes. And she dragged me to this first yoga, this yoga class with Sharon Gannon and David Life of Jiva Mukti. And I had this experience in this class, like, this is what I want to be doing. I want all my students to be doing this. I want to feel like this. So when I got out of Shavasana at the end of class, I felt so relaxed, like I'd never been that calm in my life. And I first experienced some kind of connection, like a meditative state. And I went on fire. That's when I shifted. And, you know, 4 years later, stopped teaching fitness and was completely consumed and with yoga and have been ever since. Love it. And she was right. Boy, did yoga catch on.
Did it ever. Yeah, and there's still a lot of people that seem to be resistant to it. So I wanted to bring you on the line to demystify yoga. It's a word from the East. It sounds a little woo-woo to people that aren't comfortable with it. And I wanted to ask you some things that will help us make yoga accessible to people who really have just heard about it, or maybe know some people that do yoga that are like super bendy, or relatives that do it that they just can't quite connect with. So the first thing I'd like to start off with is a definition of yoga. Like, what is it? What does the word come from?
Yoga literally translated as yoking, the yoking of the mind, the body, the spirit. Every part of you, your emotions, all coming together to practice this methodology, this practice of yoga, helps you to bring yourself in alignment with nature, with who you truly are, your truest essence. That's its definition. And it's a physical practice, but it's also, mostly in the West, we treat it like exercise. Most people you're going to go to in a gym are doing kind of physical exercise with asana practice. But if it's taught in its purest form, also gets you in touch with the philosophy that's underneath it. And by getting in touch with the philosophy that's underneath it and really connecting to, you know, what we're here, really connects you to your dharma, your truest, highest path that you should be doing. And it helps you connect to that because it takes away obstacles that are in the way of that. Say you walk around the planet with a lot of pain, or you have incredible digestive issues, or you can't sleep. So yoga helps the body tune into nature, and once it's in tune to nature, your immune system, your endocrine system, your sleep patterns, everything starts to align. And when you're in more alignment, there's an easefulness that you have more of your energy available to do other things. If you were concerned about your back pain every day, or your hip pain, or your knee pain, or your digestive issues, or maybe you're a person with has fibroids in their uterus, whatever it is that you're dealing with every day, I can't believe this is such a horrible thing that I'm dealing with. Once that's removed, yoga is a means to you connecting to yourself on a deep, authentic way level. And once that's reached, you can start to explore different aspects of who you are. And that's its purpose. It's like it's a means to a deeper understanding of yourself.
So instead of like having your back pain become your identity, or the fibroids in the uterus, or the cancer, or even the family history, and you're afraid of these diagnoses that plagued your ancestors, yoga can actually help you tease out who you really are.
Exactly. Really, it is so helpful because, you know, from my own background, I came from parents who died young from cancer and heart disease. You see people who you love suffering, and certainly anybody who we're talking to on the phone today probably sees people suffer. Can you alleviate suffering? That's the whole purpose of a doctor's life. My sister's a doctor. I know that's what she wants to do. And my brother-in-law is a pharmaceutical biochemist, you know, developing drugs. I mean, I know what people in the medical profession want to do. They want to help people. But yoga is, it's interesting. It's this ancient practice that gets you in tune with your own natural pharmacy. Like, there are hormones that are released naturally when you do certain poses that make you feel really good, you know, the good hormones, you know, it's oxytocin, it feels good after, you know, you do your practice. That's what I got into that state the first time I went to that yoga class, and I went, I didn't even smoke pot, woohoo, you know, like, I feel really stoned, and there's no side effects. I can go off into my day fully energized and completely present. You know, I'd never experienced that before without any kind of, some kind of drug support. So I think it shifts you in such a deep, profound way that, and, you know, people come into yoga because they had an injury or they heard it helps with stress. And I'm really stressful and I want to get off these antidepressant, anti-anxiety drugs. And I heard that yoga helps me. And then they get there and there's like all these other benefits that are sort of surprising. Mm-hmm. You know, your libido is shifted. I mean, really. I mean, there's people who have difficult periods. All of a sudden, they're not having those horrible cramps. Or I've had a student recently stop having migraines that are associated with their periods, and she's had them her entire life. She's 50. She's going through perimenopause, but huge decrease in her migraines. And this was from just balancing out a little bit of help with diet as well. And doing her yoga on a regular basis, her meditation. So yoga helps not only the physical body, but also the mind. Mm-hmm. And I think this is where the real shift. When you were talking about your identity, when your identity stops being connected to my illnesses and my troubles and my, you know, they always talk about the organ recital. You know, when you get older, all you're talking about is my knee pain or my kidney problem, whatever. You know, when you stop having identity, you have an identity as a vibrant human being. You know, it just shifts you in a huge way.
Yeah, it's funny. It reminded me of my first big aha that I had after I started practicing yoga. So I'd always kind of struggled with my weight. Like, I could never really wear blue jeans because my lower half was out of proportion to my waist and the rest of me. And so I just started doing triathlons and I was just going to get my body in really good shape. And I was going to eat whatever I wanted because I was working out so much and my body got in shape and I would, you know, just eat like crazy because it felt good. And then when I started doing yoga, I remember one day I looked down at my plate and I thought, I'm full. And I stopped eating. And that had never happened before.
Brings consciousness to every aspect of your life. Like, if you've done a lot of emotional eating in the past, which I did, I was a bulimic as a young woman. And, I replaced the food bulimia with exercise bulimia by becoming an aerobics instructor. And then I started doing yoga. And just like you described, it's like I stopped needing to emotionally stuff myself because I was feeling less stressed. The trigger for that binge eating, which I was doing, had just dissolved. It's gone. So I would do my yoga. I would feel great, and I would eat just what my body needed. I started craving more fruits and vegetables. Weird. And I've had a lot of conversations about that because, you know, I like to, I would eat a whole bag of cookies, you know, I was really into junk food and alcohol and things that were not good for me. And I didn't think those cravings would ever go away. I thought I'd have to really discipline myself and start becoming a runner and, you know, this serious athlete like you. And that cravings went away. I no longer needed to eat a bag of cookies to feel better in my body. I could do my yoga. So that, that's
like
really
you could just walk past the cookies. They're not even a second thought.
Yeah. I remember Pepperidge Farm was my addiction. Not at all. I could look at them and I go, ew. No, thank you.
I used to grab the ones that looked healthy. To make myself feel better.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, so I've had friends that I really thought would benefit from yoga, and I'd invite them to a class or try to give them an opportunity to come with me and do some yoga just to so we could connect over it and have fun together. And they'd say, no, I'm not flexible.
That's I get that a lot.
Yeah, what do you say to that kind of response?
That's the reason you come to yoga. When you have a supple body and mind, because flexibility is not only in the body. People who are inflexible are also inflexible in their minds, and they have trouble dealing with situations where change happens. When you become more flexible in your body becomes more youthful. And when a big challenge happens in your life, if you do yoga on a regular basis, you're able to move through that stressful, whatever, transition. You know, life is full of transitions. Without going to the usual culprits, you know, alcohol, drugs, binging on television, you know, not getting enough sleep, whatever it is that, you know, takes you out of balance. Because that will distract you, right, from the stress. But when you have yoga in your life, you have a way of getting out of that situation in a much more easeful way. You're going to move through the other side. So I say to them, if you're inflexible, that's why you need to do yoga. That's exactly for you. And there's no quote-unquote yoga body. There is no such thing. Everybody has a yoga body. Certain people have certain flexibility with you know, in their genetics. They have really open hips. They have more flexible joints. They have their connective tissue is softer. They were never a super athlete or a runner. So it's something that's constitutional. But everybody's body can be enhanced or helped through the practice of yoga.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's keep talking about this. How do people who do yoga age?
Well, there's the biggest example is, I've seen so many people in my own life who are, you know, now in their 70s and 80s, and they're yogis, and they look anywhere from 15 to 20 years younger than they are. They have complete energy. They're still vibrant. They're active. It's phenomenal, and you know, they don't stop moving. They move every day. That's one thing. They have a curious mind that always is looking to learn and expand their experience because yoga has taught that you know, being open is a part of life and that you want to keep learning. So they're always learning. And energetically, their ability to move. Unbelievable. They're getting out there walking and running and, you know, in their 80s, 90s, and upwards. It's just, and what you're able to do and the ease in their bodies is incredible. Then people who don't, you see their peers, you know, and they talk about them. Their peers are either not on the planet anymore, they died already, or, you know, in some kind of assisted living situation because they can't take care of themselves anymore. So, you know, the biggest complaint of yogis who are, you know, living past 80 years old is that most of their peers are gone, they have to make friends with people who are 10 to 15 years younger with them. That's the complaint I get. It's like, oh, my friends and my family are all gone. I'm, you know, the only one here. I'm 90-some years old, and, you know, no peers are left. So it's pretty dramatic. And, you know, the biggest example is this wonderful woman named Tao Porchon Lynch. So everybody should go Google her. It's T-A-O is her first name. She's, I think, 97 now. And she was on Dancing with the Stars. She's a competitive salsa dancer, a ballroom dancer, and she teaches yoga full time, and she's in her 90s. And she can still do full lotus, amazing energy, and, you know, age has no barrier to her. When I see someone like that, I'm just like, this is the life I want for myself and for my family and my loved ones. You know, so that's why I try to talk to people who are like, oh, here's another one. You know, there's two women in their, they died in at 106. They're two sisters. They wrote a book called Having Our Say, and I'm trying to remember their name. When it came into a Broadway show, I saw it on Broadway, and these women took up yoga in their 60s, and there's a picture of them, one of them, doing shoulder stand without any blankets under her shoulders, and she is 106 years old. These women lived way, they're African-American, they're beautiful women. One was a dentist and one was a teacher. Having Our Say. So look up that book and read about them. They got into yoga in their 60s. So when people say to me, Jackie, I'm too old to get into yoga, that is no such thing. I've seen people start yoga in their 60s and their 70s and have huge improvement of lifestyle. Like they're able to do things they weren't able to do even 10 years earlier. Quality of life improves dramatically with yoga.
Yeah. Wow. So when you have a new client, and I know that you work with some private clients as well at their homes and in their offices in New York, what are some changes that you see just from an observation standpoint?
Sure.
And someone who is starting.
There was a kind of fit 30-something woman who came to me with a lot of anxiety. She had twins. She had some complications from twins and I don't want to go into detail about it, but she's really, you know, a tough time with the pregnancy and afterwards and had to have surgery. And she was really stressed. And she came to me with a lot of anxiety and fear for herself, her kids, and the future, and just like, you know, here she went through this process thinking it was going to be fantastic, and, you know, it was not so great. The kids are great and safe and healthy, and so they're a couple of years now old now. I think they're three or four. But she was really anxious when she came to me, and the shift is now she is so in her body. She is so calm. She knows how to self-soothe herself. What I've given her is a home practice. So I give people homework to do, like, so they aren't dependent on me for the rest of their lives. You get a home practice, that's the first thing I start working on. First I make sure that their form is good, that they know the different poses. And she came into me at a pretty high level of body awareness, already had established practice. But I got her to, like, every week, have you done your practice? Have you done your practice? And there's weeks when she comes back and says, I didn't do that much, but I did 10 minutes every day. Perfect. That's all I don't need them to do an hour and a half practice on their own. But a daily practice of meditation and asana has made such a shift in her life. I had another woman I've been working with, and also I helped her nutritionally, and she lost, 25 pounds? And she's having a very difficult marriage and has had a very, very difficult marriage. And, you know, she was able to give her husband an ultimatum. And I think it's because, I'm not saying I helped her do that. She did it. You know, she got stronger in her core, and she was able to tolerate the aspect of separating from her husband with the two kids, which looked impossible before, because she so strongly worked on her inner strength. And yoga helped her do that, and meditation helped her do that, the combination of the two. And so she's now at a place. He's really changing his behavior, by the way. Instead of them breaking up, this guy has like really got his act together, and I'm hoping it works out for them. But you know, shifts like that, you know, where you don't go into yoga to solve your marital problems, but it so strengthens you that you're able to come back and deal with whatever life has to give you with such a centered place of centered and strength and confidence in yourself, where before you weren't there. So
yeah,
there's many more wonderful stories like that to tell.
Yeah, that's great. And then also about the second client being really grounded inside the body, people around you can start to change too.
There you go.
That's,
you know,
something.
Yeah, something you've experienced. This woman had a son who's actually attempted suicide. So she was like, really, you know, a wake up call there. He was on some kind of medication, some antidepressant that, you know, made him suicidal. So, you know, like they are, we've seen her son shift as a result of her behavior. He's feeling more confident. He's feeling more supported and less criticized. And she comes home at night more centered and more able to be with him and have him giggle before bed and not feel so stressed about life. So it is affecting not only her but her kids as well. So that's pretty dramatic.
Yeah, that's a great story. Oh, yeah. I forgot what my next question was going to be.
No, that is pretty profound, isn't it? Like you can save not only you can help save the person from their own anxiety. This is the person who had the migraine headaches for years, who's now, you know, hasn't had one in like 3 or 4 weeks. And lost the weight. She's just feeling so much more centered. And I walk into her office. I see her in her office. And she's got this big, beautiful smile on her face. She looks great. And there's just not this heaviness around her. Always like, oh, this poor woman is suffering. You could feel it, you know, viscerally feel her suffering and her anxiety. And, you know, she'd always talk about her kids and her husband and the problems and the And now there's a shift energetically. So
that's so great. You know, it really speaks to how interconnected we are with the people who we live with, for sure, our children who came from our bodies, and also the people who we just interact with on a day-to-day basis. It's like a ripple effect.
Mm-hmm.
So taking care of the body, your own body, has a ripple effect to everyone you come in contact with.
Right. Well, my partner has shifted. She's lost, I don't know, somewhere about 15 pounds. Feels much lighter.
Right.
Was diagnosed with Hashimoto's disease, the thyroid issue. And her last test, the numbers started going the other direction for the first time.
Mm.
Well, I don't know how that's possible. But,
that's,
you know, her
great.
Numbers were getting better instead of worse. So.
That's
huge,
So the question that I thought of, you've talked about asana practice, and for people who don't do yoga, they probably don't know what asana practice is. Can you just speak a little bit about asana practice versus the other aspects of yoga?
Yeah, asana is what you do on a sticky mat, on a yoga mat, and it's the actual postures, and the translation of asana is the seat. So you're finding the seat of each pose. And each pose is designed to work on different energy centers in the body and different physical, like there's poses that open your hips. There's poses that open your shoulders. There's poses that boost your immune system. There's poses that affect your melatonin and your sleep and your focus of your mind. There's poses that help you strengthen your back and open your heart. There's poses that help you open the back body and get more blood flowing. And so when there's more even energy, we call it prana, life force, that you can measure electrically throughout the body. You know, you can put electrodes on people's body. You can see that energy moving in different areas. When the flow of energy is more even throughout the body feels more supple feels more energetic, right? So that, you know, if you're depending on caffeine to get you back up because you're working these horrible long hours, my sister's a doctor, so I know the hours that doctors work. And the people who have those really long shifts, like they're on call, and they have to get up in the middle of the night and then function and then try to get their sleep. So, you know, it helps you survive through those big stresses on our physical body. So, you know, this is yoga helps, the asanas help you move, like I said, more into tune with nature. And your breath is involved in each asana. So even there's breathing practices that we do separate from asana, but mostly we're doing breathing practices while we're doing asana. And this helps to move that stagnant energy or stagnant qi, if you were talking to a Chinese doctor or Chinese medicine specialist, the qi or the prana is, you know, these are all different cultural names for the same thing, qi in Japanese, is moved fluidly throughout the body so the body has more even energy flow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, it's interesting, not only physically, like the mm-hmm. musculature and the joints, Beth, but also mm-hmm. your inner organs are affected. Like, for instance, say in a deep mm-hmm. twist, you're squeezing and wringing out, feels like you're wringing out your intestines or your pancreas or you can't feel those sensation in there, but the area where all those digestive organs are working, it gets a ringing effect. So you get into a deep twist and then you release and there's just this energetic expansion and, you know, elimination's easier. You might have chronic constipation. Some people walk around their whole lives with chronic constipation and not even aware of how constipated they are until their system starts working more fluidly. And wow, they have so much more energy because they're not hanging out with these toxins in their system all day. So
yeah.
That has helped. And it also helps.
Yeah, and
you know, sleep, you have to address sleep as well. You know, when you think about people who have most adults get less than 6 hours of sleep. And
right.
by having less sleep, it affects every other process in your body, from digestion to elimination to your endocrine system, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Your ability
immune
to heal
system.
Itself. Yeah, immune system.
Right. Right. And, you know, as a physician, we do have a lot of answers for many of these issues. And what I've come to learn is that if it's possible to embrace both of them, the system of yoga and even Ayurveda is 5,000 years old at least. And it's a way of really falling into a rhythm. And then we have answers in Western medicine that are, you know, a few hundred years old. And is there a way of getting them together and be able to use both
mm-hmm.
instead of saying one over the other? And, you know, I just see even a yoga practice could entertain a possibility of holding both.
Absolutely. You know, I know some people who, like, are all totally anti-allopathic medicine. I think they're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, recently a friend who was a yogi and a massage therapist was, you know, I forget what cancer was diagnosed in her, and she was, I think it was breast cancer, and all her friends and family were like, you got to go through traditional treatment. Your alternative treatment will help you through that. But don't, you know, say, oh, I'm going to go fly to Mexico, crazy. You know, let's get you through the medical system. So finally the light went on in her head. I think she went home to Montreal and her family mm-hmm. talked her into, you know, so since she's now under the care of her doctors and she's getting chemotherapy and she's doing all these other wonderful things, acupuncture and yoga and, you know, meditation and, you know, she's feeling okay. She's hanging out in there. It's not an easy time for her in her life. But, you know, like, I don't think you can go either way. It's like, I'm completely alternative medicine. I'm not going to, you break your leg, you got to go to the doctor. There's things that you need an operation. You're, you know, I'm a cancer survivor myself. you go to the doctor. Right. You have something that you know, they can help you with. But things like chronic pain or, you know, there's so many things that medicine helps with the symptoms. But how do we get to the root of some of these lifelong, you know, immune issues that are so difficult to treat with you know, they're only treating the symptoms, they're not treating the cause. This is where you would go. Mm-hmm. And it's complementary. I like the idea of complementary medicine, that they work with together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's my own belief.
Yeah. Yeah, well, do you have anything else you want to add?
You know, I was very resistant to going to yoga. I think I took a class and I hated it, you know, my first experience. Right, mm-hmm. Actually, not the yoga that class that really turned me on. It was some kind of fitness yoga, urban yoga or something. And I went to this class. It was like calisthenics. And I'm like, if I want calisthenics, I'm going to do calisthenics. I don't want to do this. It was the wrong teacher. So if you've tried yoga and had not so great an experience, try it again. And, mm-hmm. you know, really quiz your friend who's dragging you there and say, look, you know, I have this issue, that issue. Is your teacher tuned in to any kind of therapeutics? Do they have the background? So there's styles of yoga that are really great to look for. Look for Anusara yoga. That's Anusara, Anusara yoga, Iyengar yoga. These are teachers who have been trained for a lot longer times, because you can get a yoga certificate in, 4 months. And to be an Iyengar teacher or an Anusara teacher, it takes, you know, somewhere between 4 and 5 years. And, you know, we do a lot of therapeutics and anatomy training and, you know, working with, you know, with medical professionals to help us, how do we get the body in a good alignment? And what happens when somebody walks in with a back issues? A brand new teacher with very little therapeutics background is going to say, please don't take class. I don't know what to do with you. Or I've even had yoga teachers, a pregnant woman comes to class and the guy says, I don't know what to do. I'm sorry, please don't take my class. So you want to have a teacher that has the background is my point. So do a little research on their background before you just trip into, you know, look up at the why, who wears the yoga class. You know, you want to make sure that somebody's had years of experience, maybe 3 to 5 years of experience, and has had a good yogic training to go behind them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really great advice.
And you know what? If it's difficult, don't give up on it. And if you tried one class, you feel a little better, but it was challenging, don't give up on it. The regularity of the practice is really important. Set some, say, okay, I'm going to try this for 3 months. I'm not going to try it for one day. I'm going to try this for 3 months. And set some time aside to do a practice. Minimum once a week. My recommendation is 2 to 3 times a week. And find a teacher you really dig. If you're in a yoga studio, you know, we have a special at World Yoga Center where you go in an unlimited week, unlimited amount of classes for 1 week for $30. Find something like that. So you can try out all the teachers and find a teacher that resonates with you and stick with them. Especially as you're a beginner, stick with one teacher. Don't go, oh, I'm going to try this room, I'm going to try Bikram, and then I'm going to try Iyengar. You'll be so confused. Stick with one teacher for at least the first 6 months or year so you have some solid background in one system, and then you can start to experiment outside that. I've had the same teacher for 7 or 8 years. I found somebody I like. I don't have to experiment. I don't have to go to the buffet to try to taste this and that. I want the teacher that really resonates to me, and my body feels good at the end of that class. I'm getting stronger. I feel good. I love the people that are around them. They attract a good crew of people that are kind of like me. All these different factors, you know, to choose a great teacher. And it's anusarayoga.com, and look in your community. You can there's these really highly trained teachers all over the world, actually, that are fantastic. That's my first choice.
Yeah, and you know, there's something else that came up as you were talking. If we're really tired, probably the best thing is not to push. Don't strive for that pose or try to get the triangle in a certain way, and don't use props because the good people aren't using props. It's really important to hold back. And some of the best classes, you know, the most beneficial classes that I've done are classes that I've gone into not giving 100%, but maybe holding back and giving about 70% and easing into it. Like maybe I've worked a 24-hour shift and I'm really tired, but I found the energy to get into the studio and on the mat that I'm able to hold back a little bit and just let the poses carry me and not go at it like a swimming interval training workout.
Yeah.
I get a lot of benefit from that.
That's a great point, Beth. You know, and I tell people, I ask the new people, is there anything going on with you today? If your teacher is not asking you that, you probably want to find another teacher. And people will say to me, you know, I'm just so exhausted. I said, I'm going to suggest, you know, in between, if you need a break, we'll go into child pose and rest. And I don't push people in my class if they're coming in, if they haven't been practicing a while, or they're brand new. You know, we're going to do the best you can today. Look around the room. Try to get into the general shape of the pose. Don't worry about doing things perfectly. That'll come later. You know, just do the best you can. If you need a break, this is the pose. I demonstrate a child pose, which is doing a little rest pose if they need a break at any time. And then I see those students doing that. I know they're taking care of themselves, as opposed to the person who comes in and tries to compete with the highest level student in the class when they don't really know yoga yet. It's like this is a non-competitive form of physical practice.
Right, exactly. Oh, well, thank you so much for your time, Jackie. It's been a delightful conversation. And
I really enjoyed it, too.
Go to JackiePrete.com and check her out. And if you're ever in New York City, maybe you can find her at one of her studios. And that's all for now. And, see you on the website.